Okay. Yep. Yeah. Just checking. You can hear me. Well, thanks very much for that lovely time of worship. It was so good to just be in the presence of God and just to actually proclaim the fact that He is worthy. He is truly worthy. This morning, we arrive at the final message on the subject of prayer that we've been looking over the last couple of months, using the words that Jesus gave to His disciples. The Lord's Prayer is a collection of short phrases, perfectly suited to contemplate on. You know that if we pray this prayer in its entirety and at a moderate pace, it takes about 30 seconds to recite it. But the reality is, it actually takes a lifetime to understand and apply it to our lives. So our reading this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Where Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now we find here that the first three petitions deal with the wonder of God. They speak of God's name as our Father, God's kingdom, and God's will. And then the second three petitions speak to our needs. The first speaks of provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the pardon, which is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then finally it moves on to the protection, which we're going to look at this morning. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So previously we looked at the request, forgive us our sins, and that's based on sins that are already committed, that they might be forgiven. But here we have a plea to be delivered from falling into new sins. The petition and the prayer is primarily for protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now it's worth remembering, it's worth stating that it's important to remember that temptation itself is not sin. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in all things, yet was without sin. And a misunderstanding of the difference between temptation and sin has caused many people to believe that they're actually losing the battle when they're actually winning. For something to tempt us, we have to have a desire for it. For example, if I was hungry and you put down a plate of French onion soup in front of me, I would not be tempted, because I don't like onions, okay? I would not be tempted. Even though I was hungry and that was put down in front of me, I would not be tempted. But if you put a plate of fish and chips down in front of me and I was hungry, that's a different story. So you can see where there are certain things you can resist temptation with, but there are others where we can just cave in. We cannot be tempted with something that we have no natural desire for. You know, this is when the devil tempted Jesus, when he said to him, "Turn these stones into bread." He knew Jesus had not eaten for 40 days, and it was the fact that Jesus was hungry that made the suggestion a temptation, which of course Jesus resisted. So where do we draw the line? You might ask yourself, when does temptation become a sin? Temptation becomes a sin when you agree with the suggestion instead of resisting it. So by teaching us to pray for God to not lead us into temptation, Jesus is not suggesting that God is the one who tempts us. Rather, it accepts the danger of temptation, acknowledging our weakness in dealing with it, and asks for deliverance from it. You know, if we are to win the battle against temptation, we must realise the reality of spiritual warfare. You cannot win a battle if you do not understand it. You know, even being ignorant of the fact that there is a great spiritual battle being fought in our world, it doesn't erase the fact that it's true. So that phrase, lead us not into temptation, has often confused people. And it can be misread to imply that God leads us into temptation. Would our God do that? And of course the answer is no. Let's be perfectly clear, God does not tempt us. You know, in his letter, James states very clearly on this subject in James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Although God can test us by sending us, you know, perhaps down a road of temptation, he will not tempt us himself because it would be against his nature. But instead, we do know that he will allow the devil to set temptation before us. And do you know why he does that? To firm up your foundations, to build up your strength, to build up that resistance that he wants you and I to have. We need to firm up our resolve to obey God and rely on him for the victory. You know, there is no temptation set before us that does not have an escape route. God does not want us to sin. He wants all of us to be overcomers. So should we find ourselves surrounded by temptations, God will provide the help and the strength that's needed to resist the devil. Just as Jesus was tempted to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger, Jesus responded with the word of God. It is written, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you know, the Holy Spirit in us will remind us of God's word when we look to him to help us in times of struggle. The word of God is a weapon against the enemy. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is looking to help us to have that inner strength and resistance to the things that we're surrounded by that would try and take us away from him. So the word of God helps us understand that God does allow testing and trials. We know that God tested Abraham with his son Isaac. He tested Moses. You'll read many instances of that, where he was told to strike a rock and receive water from it, to part the Red Sea so that the people could walk through in dry land. And as I mentioned, Jesus himself faced the temptations in the wilderness. He also faced an unimaginable trial as he gave up his own life to pay the debt for our sins. God allows testing and trials as opportunities to refine our faith, to strengthen us. You know, tests are not sent our way so that God can turn around and say, ah, caught you there. He's not in that kind of business. He's not looking to trip us up. He's not looking to pounce on our failings or make accusations. Such trials and tests he will use to nudge us along, get our attention, make us aware of our weaknesses, and help us in our growth in faith as followers of Jesus. You know, in humility, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're admitting our own weakness, our tendency to stumble, to recognize that. So it's reaching out to the one who will help and guide us through every trial and temptation of life. So this is about trusting and believing with all of our hearts that God will never leave us or forsake us. Instead, he will always love, always protect. when we look to him, he will be there. When we come to a place of acknowledging our inability to handle temptation on our own, it's worth remembering that all of us are vulnerable to temptation. And you know what the enemy would try and do? He'll try and convince you that you're the only one facing this. Nobody else has ever been through it, it's only you. And he'll try and get you isolated. He'll try and get you into a place where you'll just want to hide away. You'll want to retreat from the one who will actually deliver you. So he'll try and convince us that any shame that you or I may carry, there couldn't possibly be a way out of this. That's the kind of thoughts he will start to put into our thinking. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. The Word of God says he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He's the one who gives us the strength. Now, we know that no one is above falling. No matter how old we are or how mature in the faith, we are never free from temptation as long as we live in this world. And that's the reality which we have to face. You know, the second phrase of this prayer is seeking God's protection. Specifically saying, deliver us from the evil one. This is a reference to Satan. And in that, we are admitting that life is a struggle and that we do have an enemy who opposes us. He does not want our God to receive worship of any kind from you and I. You know, when we were singing our praises this morning, the devil cringes. He cringes because he doesn't want to hear our God being worshipped. He doesn't want to see people set free and being able to worship him and give him the glory because he deserves it. He can't stand it. You're already on the winning side. When you declare those praises to God, you're recognizing who he is. That's what he wants to stir up in us, to get that strength, to be in that place where we can resist whatever the enemy would try and throw at us. But you see, if he can find any way to distract us and cause us to turn our back on him, his task is complete. That reminds me, have you ever came to worship and there's a song that comes up and you think, oh, I don't like this? You don't need to put your hands up. You ever been in that place where there'd be a worship song, you go, oh, it's so repetitive, it's so boring, it's not even relevant. There are things like that go through your mind. And the enemy will use that to take you away from actually worshipping God. He'll distract you. And because he'll probably have you thinking, you're the only person that feels this way, you won't say it to anybody. That's the kind of place that he wants to get. Even in a place of worship, even when you're gathered amongst the believers, he will still try and find ways that will draw you and distract you away from him. So when we all worship together, singing praises to God, he detests it. And it's something to remember. It's a battle going on round about you. Every time we gather to sing God's praises. You know, none of us know the dangers that we will face each new day. We need God's protection to cover us. God is faithful and will come to our aid when we call out to him. God is not the tempter. He is the God who longs to bless. And James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So God providing our needs and forgiving our sins is essential for our physical and spiritual well-being. It's the best protection that we have against the corruption of our souls and against falling into that place of sin. You know, it's one thing for us to ask God to help us in this way, but quite another if we intentionally put ourselves in a position to be tempted. You know, it was Martin Luther who said, We can't keep birds from flying overhead, but we can stop them from building a nest in your head. There are things where you can actually do something about it. And in this day, this modern media day of internet culture, temptation is just a click away. We often need to rely on God's strength and guidance to keep us out of situations where we might be compromised. And you know, although Satan may be the ruler of this present age, this world that we live in, he may use not only his followers, but in a moment of weakness, could use our family, our friends. Many people will be able to look back and see where they've been betrayed by someone they trusted. You fall into that place where you say, do you know what, it must be okay to do that because they're doing it. It's quite easy to, you know, to be drawn in. It must be all right, they're a Christian, they're talking like that, so therefore it must be okay. It's so easy to be drawn in to that place. Don't let yourself be betrayed. Be wise and be alert. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So it's not something that just one or two go through. Everybody, without fail, will face temptations. Don't think it's only you. Nobody else understands. We may not speak about it openly, but it's there. All of us face temptations. We're all undergoing the same kind of suffering. So what you find is the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. But it's so much more, because it's a challenge for each of us to actually use it as a guide. We understand so many things as a result of it. Just to readdress this again, we learn how to speak to God as our Father. We are his children. His name is holy, and therefore hallowed be his name. We want to worship him. He is worthy to be praised. We need to seek his priorities when we say, Lord, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And then to ask for his provision. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Give us today the strength that we need to get through this. Give us today the endurance to go through these trials or temptations. Lord God, give us what we need in this hour, in this very day. It's a daily prayer to seek that kind of strength. And then to know his pardon. Forgive us our sins, those things that we are aware of. Let's have a clean slate before the Lord and just take that opportunity. Say, Lord, forgive me. For those things that I've said or done, forgive me. Allow me to move on. And then finally, as we've looked at his protection, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, we have a daily defence against the things that would try and rob us of our spiritual health and our joy in Christ. We're encouraged to forgive as we have been forgiven. And that's the very thing that actually leads to healthy relationships with family and friends. Nobody's saying it's easy to do, but God is saying that's the way to move forward. If we are looking to stay connected to Christ our Saviour, to know his love, to have his protection, here we find as a guide to suit every one of us. And it doesn't matter your background. This prayer is for all. It's not for certain people who've been through certain things. This is a prayer for all. We'll have all found ourselves in circumstances where one or all of these phrases will be applicable to us. Our God is a merciful God who desires to guide us and to lead us. Do you know what he wants to lead us? back to him. Back to him, because the temptations will try and distract us, will try and take us away. But his plan and his purpose is to help us, to encourage us, and to lead us back into that place of following after him and worshipping him. So he's a merciful God who desires the very best for us. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." And it goes on to say there that they are new every morning. You hear that? Every day, they are new every morning. So this is not just, you know, when we decide to pick it up. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We have lots of reasons to praise God and give him the glory, to thank him for his grace and his mercy towards us. And in doing that, he'll help us face the challenges that come across our path. Maybe even use you to help other people because of the example that you live, the things that you have said, or things that you have shared. Let's strengthen one another. Let's be that support that God calls us to be. Let's implement the things into our lives that he has given us through his word to strengthen us. And in doing that, we will then move on to strengthen others. Because through all, it's all about giving God the glory. It's all about honouring his name and giving him his rightful place within our lives. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for your provision, not only physically, but spiritually. And Father, I ask that for each of us this day, that your protection would be over us. Keep us focused on you and your word, which leads us into that safe place. Lord, so often in our lives, it's the very thing that we look for, the very thing that we cry out for, is just to have that safe place. And Lord, you've given us provision for that. So we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy has no power over us, only the things that we allow. Therefore, give us your strength each day to face whatever comes before us. Lord, may we be alert to the enemy's tactics. But more than that, may we be so aware of your loving protection. Father God, watch over us, that we may be a people ready in all circumstances. And we just thank you for your Son, Jesus. You showed us the way by your own example, the resistance that you showed during temptation, and that reliance on the Father. Holy Spirit, be our guide, be our strength. Lead us in the days to come, that we may honour your name, that we may give glory to the Father, as we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I'm going to ask Paula and Liz to come back up and lead us in our closing worship.
Let's stand together. We'll sing Majesty first. The last song we're going to sing is called O Church Arise. Some of you might have heard it before. I visited a friend's church for a christening a few months ago, and at the end of the reorder of service, it said, "Now our worship has ended, our service can begin." And I thought about, because this song is called O Church Arise, it's quite a rousing, stirring song, and I thought about using it at the start of the service, but I think we need to be roused up and stirred up for going out into the world. As Alan said, we're in a battle, we're in a war just now, and our worship is our warfare. So I hope that this song will stir us up and set us up for the week ahead. So.
Thank you. God is good, eh? Amazing. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to prepare us, Lord, for the battle we face daily. And as we spend time in fellowship, Father, I pray that you'll remain with us, Lord, that we feel your presence. As we leave here today, Father, I just pray we continue to walk with you, Lord, to stand in the truth of your word. May this week, our words, our actions, and our thoughts all honour you, Father, that Jesus may be seen in us. In his name we pray. Amen. Please spend time in fellowship. Tea and coffee will be served through the door. Thank you.